Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Evan and Tiki on this post-election day Wednesday here on The Fan. If you missed any of the show, you can rewind on the Odyssey app right back to 2 o'clock. So the GM meetings are going on right now. Yesterday on the show, you heard Brian Cashman speak about the offseason and whatnot. And those meetings continued today, and they included Scott Boras. And Scott Boras is the man of the hour. Because Scott Boras, as maligned as he was for the errors last year during the offseason with some of his free agents, and even the error of Gerrit Cole with the whole opt-out, he represents the market. Like Juan Soto, Scott Boras. Pete Alonso, Scott Boras. Corbin Burns, Scott Boras. Blake Snell, Scott Boras. Alex Bregman, Scott Make. He literally represents everybody. So one of the traditions of the GM meetings is AGMs will tell you nothing, but also Scott Boras will be there. And he goes nuts with his puns.
Yeah, and he'll tell you a lot.
He'll tell you a lot. So Scott met the media today and did his normal thing. And if you never heard Scott Boras's puns, but you listen to Evan and Tiki, I'll explain it this way. He is Sean Morash. He makes dad jokes around all of his clients, and that's kind of like a tradition over the last couple of years.
You know, so when it comes to the polar bear, we're not in contract hibernation.
That's an example from last year, right? Yeah, when he was asked about, hey, Pete Alonso extension. So that's a little example of Scott Boras. So I've got what he said and his Borisisms about every big client he's got. Blake Snell, Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman, Corbin Burns, and Juan Soto. And I figured, let's play a game. Let's see if Sean Morash can defeat Scott Boras in a pun off.
Oh, nice.
So here's the way this is going to work. We're going to read Scott Boras's pun. Sean will have a chance to respond with his own pun. And then we...
Have you seen these, Sean?
Purposely stayed away.
Got it.
There's no idea. We then will react to which pun we enjoyed more.
Got it.
Fair enough? Now, let's start things off. I'll give you... You know what? I'm going to give you the option. Blake Snell, Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman, Corbin Burns, Juan Soto. I've got Boras's puns. Which athlete should we start off with, in your humble opinion?
All right, so I have a list in order of the way I went, so I want to stick to my
list. That's totally fine. Tell me the guy you want first.
Blake Snell.
Blake Snell. Scott Boras, on if he anticipates Blake Snell will have a different free agency experience this year. Quote, there's no doubt the Snelling salts created a lot of whiffs, and the market has definitely awakened.
The Snelling salts.
The Snelling salts created a lot of whiffs. That's Scott Boras. Sean Morash, your retort.
Do you smell that? There's more teams fishing in this Blake than last year.
Wow. I think Sean wins that. I think Sean takes that one.
I'm with you. I go Sean
100%.
Morash.
Because... Read Boras's again. It doesn't really make sense to me.
There's no doubt the Snelling salts created a lot of whiffs, and the market has definitely awakened. Snelling salts, like smells.
Oh, got whiffs. Okay, it's just a play on. It's a pun on words. I got it.
And whiffs for strikeouts from a pitcher.
Right. Right. I got it. It's a good, but Sean's is still better.
By the way, I just realized we're American Idol, okay? I'm Randy Jackson. You can be Simon Cowell, and Tommy would be Paula.
I'm Paula? Yeah. Love it.
So let me just say, dog, I like that, dog. I like that.
I'm good with it.
Yep. I still give it to Sean.
I give it to Sean, too.
Now that I understand it, it took a little bit.
Clean sweep.
Wow. Mm. 1-0 Sean. He did Blake Snell and beat Scott Boras's ass. Go ahead.
Corbin Burns.
Agent Scott Boras on his client, Corbin Burns.
Essentially, he continues to be a Corbin copy of his previous seasons.
Yeah.
Sean Morash.
Corb, in your enthusiasm on underpaying him.
What?
What?
Corb, in your enthusiasm on underpaying him.
Corb, like curb?
Like curb your enthusiasm?
Dog. I didn't like your pitch on that one, and I think Scott Boras kicked your ass. I got to give that one to Boras, bro.
You know what? You could have just made it.
Corb, your enthusiasm?
No, Corbin.
I tried to emphasize the Corb.
Corbin, curb in your enthusiasm. I don't. Boras wins.
It's like he tried to give it to you and couldn't get it.
Damn, I was excited for that one too.
Tommy.
They both stunk. Boris's less stinkier.
Yes, I agree with
Boris less stinkier.
That's the best way to put it, Tommy.
I'm going to just defend mine for a second. I thought for sure he was going something with the Burns play, so I went with the first. I didn't see Corbin copy coming.
Yeah, okay. Well, right now it's 1-1 on Blake Snell. Morash got the victory on Corbin Burns and Scott Boras. Next up?
That fat bastard Pete Alonso.
Pete Alonso. I mean, you can only imagine where this is going. By the way, before we play it, you did play earlier, Tommy, Boras's comment last year about the contract talks. So let's hear what he said last year, just to see if Scott showed any originality in talking about it this year.
He better not have copied.
You know, when it comes to the polar bear, we're not in contract hibernation.
All right. That's what he said last year. It's actually very different. Boras, when asked about Alonso, there's been a lot of talk about this being a bear market for first baseman. But for Pete's sake, it's the polar opposite. I got to read that again.
That's a good one.
He went all in on that. There's been a lot of talk about this being a bear market for first baseman, but for Pete's sake, it's the polar opposite. Sean, good luck.
I was really excited for this one. All right. You're not going to rob Peter to pay someone else a haul. Peter Paul.
God, it's such a promising start you had, too.
Are you guys serious?
Shaky, where you want to go with this?
Yeah, this has got to go to Boras.
Yeah.
He just incorporated the whole name. Like, the first name, like, the polar bear. It was.
I heard him. I know what he did.
Yeah,
you're not going to rob Peter to pay someone else a hole. Peter Paul?
Yeah, no, I get the reference. I think Scott came more prepared. I mean, the bear market.
Prepared.
The Pete's sake, the polar opposite.
Well, first of all, he's had 2 years to prepare. I had an hour. So, of course, he came more prepared.
Don't make excuses, okay? It's not a day for excuses. Tommy, you want to make
to quote the late, great Charlie Murphy, that was Scott Boras in a landslide victory.
All right. Maybe I should have waited on Blake Snell.
Clearly.
My confidence is shook, so let's go to Juan Soto.
All right. Well, this is for you to tie it up. So let's see if you can pull this one off. Scott Boras on Juan Soto. The owners, the general managers, they are kind of called upon to be championship magicians. It's kind of what they're asked to do. It's hard to do, to put together the magic for the championship run. But behind every great magician, obviously, is the magic wand. That is Scott Boras. It's a long way to get there, but
I'm
he got
so
there.
Relieved.
This one should be easy for you, Sean.
All right.
Just be succinct.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Owners know this will be the most expensive Soto stream in any park. Maybe we can get $1 billion.
I gotta tell you, I didn't love it, but it's enough to get the victory.
Yes, I agree.
That's where I'd go with that.
I needed a tie here because I'm telling you I'm winning this last one.
Tommy, you want to make it a clean sweep that was a Morash win, or are you going to go with Boras? Doesn't matter, but
Boras
just
all over the place. I didn't get to the point, Boras.
Yeah.
I didn't know where he was going.
It was long-winded. But the punchline for Scott was better. So I'll take that journey for the better punchline. Give me Scott Boras.
All right. Well, we disagree, so we outvote you. So coincidentally, it comes down to this. Two for Boras, two for Morash, and it's all about Alex Bregman, of all people.
This is great, because Scotty's getting knocked out here.
All right, now Scott's is very quick, so very different than his long-winded Juan Soto.
Oh, God, now I'm panicked. So is mine.
Uh-oh.
Scott Boras said Alex Bregman provides an infusion of championship blood. He's AB positive.
What?
Oh, thank God.
Alex Bregman.
Yeah, his initials. It's an infusion of championship blood. He's AB positive. Sean, for the win.
Alex Bregman, when he gets paid, he's Alex Breadman.
Damn.
Yes.
Yeah, drop the mic.
That's a victory for you, Sean.
That's a great win.
I knew
win.
It. That's why I wanted Bregman going last.
That's a great win.
Want to make that a clean sweep, Tommy?
No. I think Boris. I think Boris was better slightly.
A, B positive?
Come on. I didn't like the bread man either.
I mean, he's making bread, bro.
Money, bread, bro. You should know you stay up till 1 a.m.
That's our 10 a.m. Panarin's nickname. I don't know. I didn't like that one. But I will respect the voting process here. Sean won.
Congratulations, yeah. Sean. You've won the first ever. This will be a yearly tradition now at the GM meetings. It's the Scott Boris dad joke off.
Right. Don't worry, Tommy. It's just for a year.
It's 1 year.
Just for 1 year.
Listen, Scott had the guys, man. I mean, he had every big guy, and he came to play. I thought some of them were good. I think my favorite Scott Boris one was probably the Pete Alonso one, because I think I like the fact that he was all in on everything.
Yeah.
Bear market, Pete's sake, polar opposite.
You think he cares most about that one? That's why he puts so much effort into it?
You know what I think it is?
What's that?
I think he's confident he's getting a multi-year deal and not a one-year deal for Pete, because if it's a one-year deal, he's already... He's giving you everything.
Oh, I see, because...
He doesn't have to go back to the well again.
Yeah. Right. He's not accepting the qualifying offer and having to do this again next year. That's a very, very fair point. Well, Scott Boris has set the tone for this offseason. I represent everybody, now pay my clients a lot of money. And that's essentially what he said about Juan Soto. Yep. He said, Juan Soto cares about an owner that's committed to spending money and winning.
Who's the only who the other big names that's not him? What's the biggest name that's not Boris?
So in my opinion, the biggest name not represented by Scott Boris would be Max Fried, who's the other big pitcher that's available. Offensively, I think I'd go Teoscar Hernandez, maybe? It really is incredible how he represents the guys.
Yeah. Well, they go to him. I mean, as much as it is him recruiting the best players and you know, landing them. A lot, like Pete, was not with him.
Right, he switched to him a year ago.
Switched to him.
While I want the max for him, he's freed to do what he wants to do.
Now you already won.
You're just showing off. Now you're just showing off. You know, a guy asked me this
off
question.
The dome. I like it.
A guy asked me this question while I was voting the other day, and I do want to ask you this question about Scott Boris. So, Scott Boris also represents Gerrit Cole. And we all know what happened a couple of days ago with the opt-out.
Yeah.
So basically, Scott Boris and Gerrit Cole opted out of the Yankee contract. The Yankees had a chance to override it by just tacking on a year to the existing 4 years, or Gerrit Cole would have been a free agent. Now, I would have just said, all right, we're tacking on the year.
Yeah. The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want to lose Gerrit Cole.
All right.
And Brian Cashman, to his credit, showed a lot of guts. He said, no, we're not giving you the extra year. We'd love to have you back, but we're not giving you the extra year. And Scott Boris blinked. By the way, I have looked all day to hear what Boris said about that. I have not found it. So I don't know if he's avoiding it or no one asked him the question. But if you find that, Sean, Scott's answer to the Gerrit Cole thing, certainly let us know. So I think we'd all admit that Scott Boris got schooled a little bit.
Yeah, well, he's probably got a bit of a hangover from last season where he went all in with these guys, and Blake Snell included, and it just didn't happen.
Correct, and one of those guys dumped him. I think Jordan Montgomery actually got rid of him.
And so, and talked like trash about him.
Right.
And so I don't want to say he's humbled, because I don't think he can be, but he's just more cautious about how he's, I don't know, his ego. How he's presenting his ego.
I agree, but what this guy asked me, and it was an interesting question. He said, Do you think when Brian Cashman tells Scott Boras, hey, look, we're not adding on the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not happening.
Yeah, we'll be fine without you in 4 years.
We're good. We dare you to find that contract in free agency. Obviously, Scott had tail between his legs to have to go to the Players Association and say, hey, guys, we want to kind of forget what we did yesterday and not opt out. And
why did they let that happen, by the way?
Like, because it's good for him and the players. Yeah. Like, why walk away?
To lose the contract would be bad for the players. So
it'd be bad for the players. It'd also be bad for the marketplace because now you're flooding it with another big-time pitcher. So does that conversation, which had to be awkward, especially when one guy completely schools you the way Cashman did Boras, does that create any uneasiness when now they're talking about other players? And the guy asked me that. He's like, are you concerned? And I said, my gut was no, because I think Scott is a professional and he just wants to get the most money for his clients.
Yeah, I don't think he emotionally ties. I don't think he ties anything emotionally to the relationship with whoever he's talking to.
I don't think you can.
I agree with you. You can't. You can't let it hang over.
And I don't think you can let it hang over the other way. And I'll give you an example on the Mets side. A couple of years ago, the New York Mets signed Carlos Correa. We all remember that. To this mega contract. And it was all orchestrated because Scott Boras and Steve Cohen, over a drink or whatever it was, make this monster deal. Then the Met people go to Steve Cohen and say, hey, we should check out the medicals. You know, the same medicals that caused the contract with the San Francisco Giants to go awry. And then weeks go by, there's negotiations, and the whole thing falls apart. And Met fans were concerned, hey, is this going to ruin the Cohen-Boras relationship? And my answer then is the same answer now in terms of Cashman and Boras. If you want to be successful, whether you're Scott Boras or you're Brian Cashman or you're Steve Cohen, you got to move on.
Right.
Because this guy represents everybody. And if you're going to have any bitterness over one incident, well, it's going to hurt you in the long run. Because think about it. If you're Boras and you're holding it against the Yankees, well, now you lose one of the great suitors for a multitude of your free agents.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
So while I'm sure that conversation was awkward because Brian Cashman completely schooled his ass, I think it's better for everybody to have to just move on because all of these clients are going to be linked to the New York Yankees.
Right. It's like, all right, you got me. It's all good.
Yeah. Just give me
about,
money.
How about Snell? Well, how about Cole? How about Soto?
Right.
It's just Pete Alonso. Like, he just throws out the next one. It doesn't even matter. All right, you got me. All right, so let's go. Let's move on.
You kind of have to move on.
You have to.
If there's any bitterness, you're going to hurt yourself. It's a huge, huge mistake. So it's a fair question to ask. I'm sure some Yankee fans had that on their mind. I would assure you that it's just not going to be an issue. And that Scott Boras is the king right now. And this is why, to me, Juan Soto will be the first guy to sign. Because for the New York Yankees, and to a degree the New York Mets, but more so the Yankees, all of those other free agents I mentioned are going to be backup plans for Juan Soto. So I don't believe this free agent market can move in any significant way until Juan Soto signs.
Yeah, right. Because who's going to sign one of these other guys if they still think they have a shot at Juan Soto? And now you become the Dodgers. If you sign Blake Snell and then try to sign Juan Soto, you're spending $1 billion in total contract. So it's just not, you got to do Soto first.
You have to. Think about the Yankees as a great
example.
Unless
you don't care about Soto.
Well, but
meaning,
no matter
meaning,
what.
You don't think you're going to get him, so let's not even try.
Yeah, but if you're Scott Boras, there'd be no motivation to let's take Alex Bregman, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Bregman is a backup plan for Juan Soto. We all have to admit
that. Yes, as is Pete.
And Pete Alonso and Christian Walker, who's not represented by Scott, but another guy. And you could even argue Corbin Burns, that the Yankees, if they're not spending $50 million a year on Juan Soto, one of their pivots may be, hey, let's go buy Corbin Burns. We'll just build a super rotation. I'm not saying that's the best way to build a team, but it's an option. So if you're Scott Boras, you want to make sure Juan Soto signs so that if it's not with the Yankees can be a factor in all those players.
Yeah.
Because that market can drive up even more. So that's why I still remain kind of steadfast that Soto's going to sign relatively early. And we've all made predictions on those dates. I think it's sooner rather than later.
Yeah, mine's in 2 weeks.
Yeah, your clock is ticking, man.
And it may not just be Juan Soto that speeds up. John Morosi 11 minutes ago at these GM meetings, the Yankees are among the most aggressive teams in speaking with reps for free agent relievers. So they're looking to stock up the bullpen.
Now, that's a separate thing. Like, I think adding relief pitchers, it's a different marketplace. So I think free agency can move without Juan Soto. I just don't think the top end of free agency can move without
And also Holmes, Tim Hill, and
Jonathan Loaisiga, too.
Yeah, well, does he count? Does he exist?
I mean, yes, he does, but not in our minds.
Touche, sir. Touche.
Yes.
We'll come back. We'll get back to your calls. Giants on the table. Yankees, Mets, Jets on the table. 888-808-1019. And Brian Cashman said something very interesting about the Juan Soto trade and if he would regret it if the Yankees lose Juan Soto. We'll explore it coming up. I don't want to be, you know, too mean about this. I just want to make a little declaration that maybe we all as Americans can agree on. We could all come together on something. The election is over. Okay, it's done. It's over. It's happened. I'm going to give everybody until tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Because tomorrow at 3 o'clock, it better be gone. It better be thrown out or saved or whatever you want to do with it. But by 3 o'clock tomorrow, get the damn signs off your lawn. Am I right or am I wrong here?
You're right.
Thank you. Like, there's a moment after Halloween where you got to take the Halloween stuff down. There's a moment after Christmas. You know, I'll give it a little bit of time.
Well, no, people take, like, months after Christmas.
Well, I got a problem with that. Mm. When it comes to people, and I would never do it, but hey, to each his own, who decide to put a sign in their lawn, whether it's a sign for a local candidate, whether it's a sign for the presidential election, I don't give a rat's ass what the sign says. When you put that sign in your lawn, first of all, you're advertising yourself. Why? No one cares who you're voting for. But okay, fine. That's up to you. But now that it's over, get rid of it.
All right.
We all agree on that as Americans?
Yes. My Yankee flag came down from my house at 2:30 a.m. the night they were eliminated. Wasted no time.
That's very different, though.
Yeah. No, but this is it. You know, for some people, they're Yankees, either won or were eliminated. Time to take the flag down.
See, I think you can keep the Yankee flag up all year. Like, you're a Yankee fan. Like, it is what it is. It's a baseball team. You love them. I think the candidate stuff, the holiday stuff, like, there's an expiration date.
Well, and here's the thing. This is worse than the Christmas or holiday decorations, because at least you can make the case it's freezing out. I'm looking for the first 50-degree day to take it off. It's 75 degrees out. Get outside and take down a sign.
There's no excuse. And listen, I don't care if you're the winner or the loser. Here's why you're all pathetic, okay? Number one, if you lost and you keep your sign up, that's just sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're all going to cry for you. We feel bad. It's like, all right, get over it. You lost. And if you won, you're just being a douche. Like, we got it.
Just bragging.
Right. We got it. You got what you wanted. Smile, be happy. So either way, if you leave the sign on your lawn past tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I don't know. Something wrong. I don't like it.
Right message, wrong messenger, in my opinion.
Well, why?
Because, well, you and this guy. This guy to my right, Sean Marash, already has Christmas stuff in his house.
That's different, though, DeLuke. Here's the difference. Putting stuff up early versus taking it off when it's done. That's very different.
You could have put your Trump or Harris. No, you couldn't have put Harris. It would have been Trump Biden sign up like a year ago.
And they did.
And people did. Yeah. And that's fine because you knew it was coming.
Exactly.
But once it's happened, it's over.
Yeah, you're missing the argument. It's the end of it.
So it's the end.
If your point is, Evan, you left your Halloween stuff up too long, touche. I took it down within a day.
Right. And like, my ladder is December 26th. I'm up taking lights down.
By the way, me too. Like, I'm very quick to say it's over. I'm done. Halloween, Christmas, 4th of July. My stuff goes down like a day later.
I still have Santas in my basement.
But that's your wife's fault, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But there's the argument, if you win a championship, you have a parade a week later. So perhaps the people that won, they may keep their sign out later. So there is an argument to have a little grace period afterwards. I'm just saying, for people like you guys that have Christmas stuff out early or Halloween stuff out too long, should you be the ones really making the rules on this?
Because I take my stuff down immediately. I'm the rule maker on this one. Because in this case, it all comes down immediately. My Halloween stuff came down like right at the night of Halloween. I wanted to take it down. I said to my wife, we were kind enough. We did the shows at home, got to go trick-or-treating with the kids. I'm telling you, at 11 o'clock at night, I was like, all right, let's do this. What are we waiting for?
Jack-o'-lanterns right in the trash.
Check game just ended. I'm like, can we just take everything down now? So well, I am the right messenger.
If you make it a if you don't carve it, it can stay out.
Yeah, but then the squirrels come start chewing. It's all over your porch.
True, but the squirrels haven't got to my pumpkins squirrels. Yet.
You got very cooperative squirrels over there.
They're actually CJ's, my dog squirrels. That's who plays with them.
I don't know how
chases them, at least.
I don't know how you pull that off, because I'm not kidding. When we bought pumpkins and put it around our house, 24 hours,
gone.
And the squirrels destroyed those pumpkins. Mm. They went. They made holes in it. They made the jack-o'-lanterns themselves. They were cutting holes through that sumbitch.
Right.
They were eating it. It was disgusting.
Do you have Ring? You have a Ring camera?
I do.
Does it make a noise when someone comes on the porch?
Yes.
Is it loud?
All the time.
Huh.
Those squirrels ring me up every night, man.
Ah.
Yeah, it's a disaster.
I think it scares away the squirrels in my house.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
See, that doesn't work for me. I got to try
Maybe
something
for
like
Halloween
that.
Because we had the spooky sound on. So it was like,
oh, you go all out at the barber house, huh? We must have tougher squirrels because we had the sounds too, and it didn't matter. The squirrels were like, what do we care? So you're making noises. We're still going to eat you.
I can't believe he goes with the spooky sound.
That's someone who loves Halloween.
That's right. We do it at every holiday.
That's right.
I don't think Thanksgiving has sound, though.
Well, what do you get? Like a Santa ho-ho-ho or
anything? Yeah.
Merry Christmas or whatever. I love how you're surprised by that. Like, of course there's sounds for that.
That's unbelievable.
All we're saying is take it down, okay? You won, you lost, move the hell on, all right? That's it. That's a public service announcement from all of us. Joe Douglas has met the media for the first time since Trump's first administration. I'm probably exaggerating a little bit, and we'll hear from Joe Douglas coming up right at 4 o'clock. Let's go to Jeff in Babylon, New York. How are you, Jeff?
Not too shabby. How are you guys doing?
Good. Not too bad. Man? What's up, man?
All right, so let me just start off by saying, by the way, Evan, you are the oldest 41 I've ever heard in my life. You, like, I thought you and Benigno must have been classmates or something. When I heard you were 41, I'm like, are you kidding me? But with that aside, let me just say that looking at the Giants, if you take their roster, it's not that terrific. You take their quarterback, he's not that terrific. Take Dan Campbell and make them the coach. Do they have Four more wins? I mean, come on. There's a point where the coach has to make these guys run through walls.
No, you're not wrong. You see this with Mike Tomlin as well. I mean, Mike Tomlin hasn't had the greatest teams over the last couple of years, but he's never had a losing record. And you see, like, these posts and videos of him, like, coaching and teaching on the sideline.
Right.
And it's no wonder that guys, as he was just alluding to, run through walls for him. And so It's the hard part of coaching because you're dealing with the frustrations of guys not performing like they're supposed to, but you got to constructively teach them so that they're motivated to be better. That's the hardest thing about coaching. And in having the patience to be able to do that the right way is really hard.
So I'm thinking about this out loud. With quarterbacks, we always say, if you don't know within 2 years, then you kind of know he's right. Not the answer.
Right.
Like, for the most part, when a guy...
Unfortunately, now. It used to not be that way.
No, it's definitely different back in the day.
It is that way now.
100%. Is it the same way with coaches? Where if that guy isn't shown you in the first 3 years, I'm not going to say the first year, because let's not forget what Dan Campbell did in his first year. They were terrible.
Yeah, but it was a remake. But the very next year, they won 10 games?
No, that's my point. Like, within the second year of Dan Campbell, they went from a bad year, they were 3-13, to the 9-8 year in which they felt like they should have made the playoffs.
And then they won 11?
Then they won 12.
12, wow.
They got to the NFC Championship game, and now here they are at 7-1. So within 2 years, 3 years, we knew Dan Campbell was the truth. Right. Mike Tomlin, I think we knew right away the truth.
Right.
John Harbaugh, we kind of knew right away truth.
Jim Harbaugh, you knew.
Jim, same thing. No, I completely agree. You go back to, like, Andy Reid's early days in Philadelphia, same thing. Within the second year, they were an 11-win team, and they were making the playoffs every year.
If you want to stay local with the Giants, Tom Coughlin, second year, we won 10 games.
So is that, like, the new thing that if we're still unsure of a head coach, and I think it's fair to say we're unsure of Brian Daboll 3 years in, that means, at the end of the day, it's not going to be the answer? Kind of the way we look at quarterbacks,
I think so part of it is what we started the show talking about, and if you missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app, is the talent. Right, you got to have the talent.
Right,
like think about when Tom Coughlin came in. We had talent. I mean, I was here. Shockey was here. Strahan was here. Amani was here. It was some really good players. Jesse Armstead was still. I think he was still playing. Right, his first couple of years. Right, so like we had a ton of talent on the team. If you don't have talent, you got to rebuild it from ground up. And the Giants kind of had to do that. There was a couple guys that were still here, Andrew Thomas, but Andrew Thomas has been so unavailable, he's becoming like AVT, right? It's just every year something comes up, and it's not, you know, you don't want to malign the kid because he's such a great player, but you got to be available.
Yeah.
And so what was the talent that they've had? And despite not having it, they won, you know, games in year one.
He had a great first year. The first year, we all thought he was the guy.
Yes.
The second year was a bad year, and here we are in the third year, and it's kind of another bad year, and I'm really rocking
I think the second year got excused a little bit, if you were being fair.
Sure.
Because the offensive line wasn't fixed, and then everybody got hurt. I mean, it was a disaster. Saquon was hurt early in the season. Andrew Thomas was done for the year. Daniel Jones gets hurt. Right? It became non-competitive talent. And so coming into this year, it's like it's got to be better.
Yeah. I think what I'm kind of going through my brain on is that if you think about all the great coaches or good coaches in the NFL, like the ones that are established, not the ones that are only a year or two in and we're still figuring it out, they were all legitimately, we know they're good by year three.
But also think about some of those teams and what they were handed. So while Kyle Shanahan is a perfect example, they built that team defensively for years.
Right.
And when he got there, they were ready to be a competitor.
Right.
And all they needed was a quarterback. And Jimmy Garoppolo kind of, got them there for a little while. And then they get lucky with Brock Purdy. Think about Matt LaFleur.
I get him confused too.
I always do. I'm like, wait, which one was the coordinator? LaFleur in Green Bay.
That's the easy way. Just say that.
He had Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback.
Mike Tomlin was set up too. I agree.
Well, that brings me to this, and I will maintain this until I am in the casket, okay? All of those guys, even if they stumbled their way, Brian Daboll remains being punished because he was too good in year one.
No, you're right. Right. Andy Reid had Alex Smith.
Right. They declined Daniel Jones' option because they were ready to just have a bad year, figure out what they had. He excelled because Daboll overcoached. If the Giants were as bad as the fan base accepted and was willing to accept in 2022, there is a world that we live in where the Giants are in the top three in the draft and have C.J. Stroud with Brian Daboll right now. Yeah, Are we having these conversations?
Okay. So you went to a second thing.
No, but I'm saying that world exists.
No, but you went to drafting the right quarterback. Of course.
By the way, he could draft the wrong quarterback. Oh, my point is, Brian Daboll squeezed the most out of what everybody thought was going to be a bad year and a bad team. Right. And now in year three, we're wondering why they haven't grown. And winning that much set them back.
Here's where I would disagree with you. Okay, forget the draft pick thing. Because obviously, if you end up with a great young player, sure, everything's different. But if he had a bad first year like we expected, and then the second year was the same, and this is the same, I don't think there'd be any debate. He'd be gone.
My point.
I think the first year saved him.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I don't think it's as bad.
Last year is confusing to me when I try to evaluate Brian Daboll.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know why they were bad. And it wasn't the coaching. I mean, it was the lack of cohesion with coaching.
Right.
Because he and Wink hated each other and everything else.
That's a part of coaching.
But it doesn't really matter. I mean, I guess it creates a tense atmosphere. But go do your thing. I'll do my thing. Mm. Like, just be good at what you're doing. And they were, but they weren't. But then the injuries were so profound last year. So it's hard for me to evaluate what actually happened. This year is different. And now you're seeing, despite some improvements, they're just not good enough.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, look at the coaches around the NFL. No one has three bad years, and he hasn't because his first year was good, 9-7-1. But no one 3 years in is still a question. If they are, they're usually not the answer. Find me a coach that is. I just went through like eight of them off the top of my head.
I'm just telling you.
Find me an active coach.
I don't think we're having a bad year three if they had a bad year one.
But if they had a bad year one, you're assuming that that leads to the right answer at quarterback.
No, or even if it's the wrong answer, is Brian Daboll coaching a team that's winning five games right now if they have the Anthony Richardson, Joe Flacco thing? I believe in him as a coach that he would. I've seen him win games with Tommy DeVito. I saw him win nine games with Daniel Jones.
But you're creating a hypothetical.
But don't you have to?
No, the hypothetical, it's just, I hate hypotheticals.
I do too.
It's just hard to think it. And so, did they get lucky? And not lucky, but they get unlucky in year one because they had to stay with Daniel Jones? Possibly. But because they were ready to move on.
Right. They declined his option.
They set themselves up to be able to move on. But because they won so many games, they weren't going to draft a good quarterback.
Exactly.
The problem you have, and I'm going to repeat this again, even though you don't want to do it. I don't think you want to do it not because you're lazy. I don't think you want to do it because you know what you're going to find. And that is how many coaches have declined record-wise year one to year two to year three.
And then hang on. Not many.
It's tough. Not many. That's my only point.
Right. Even Arthur Smith, who Tommy and I fought about last week, he was the same every year. He's just average.
Right.
He was seven wins every year.
This is going backwards.
And he got fired.
Right. Like 9-7-1 to 6-11. And I don't know where the Giants are going to finish right now, but to go 6-11, they'd have to go 4-4 in their last eight games. I don't know how many people think that's going to happen. So record-wise, there's going to be a three-straight-year decline with this head coach, and it's going to make people like Tommy.
Or a two-straight-year.
Well, it's really three, because it's from 9 wins to 6 wins to whatever this ends up to
right.
be. I know the 9 is high. I get
right,
it.
Right.
That's where it's fair to say, boy, that first year kind of
hurt
him in a way.
Well, year 1 was good. So you go from year 1 to year 2, that's a decline. Year 2 to year 3, that's a decline. So it's a two-year decline.
Technically, yes.
So three years, but 2 years of decline. That's
a tough thing to get out of.
Of course it is.
That's where you have your ammunition.
Yeah,
positive, negative, Tommy.
Look, I mean, you're saying that he's being punished for that good season. No, that was the standard that he set. So that's the standard. And when you don't meet that standard and you go backwards, by the way, that's with Joe Shane too, because in my opinion, you took a playoff team here and you have mismanaged them roster-wise and coaching-wise to where they are a two-win team.
Yeah.
I don't care what quarterback they could have got.
Right.
This is the team they have. They've gone backwards.
It's interesting because what... Like, if you could do it all over again, this is hypothetical, so I hate it, but let's talk about it. If you could do it all over again, you just let Daniel Jones walk, and you take every asset, and you go get the quarterback you want. You go draft the quarterback you want, even if it costs you first, second for this year and next year. You go do it. Because when you now look at it, that's what the issue has become.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say. Let's go to Anthony on Long Island. How you doing, Anthony?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday, sir.
All right, Evan. I need you to pull out your pen and your paper.
All right.
And I want you to write down the exact thing that's going to happen in Mets offseason.
Hold on 1 second. Anthony, Long Island, November 6th, 3:45 p.m. This is our future. Go ahead. I'm writing it down.
All right. The Mets will sign Soto.
Okay.
12 years, $750.
Oh, my God. Okay.
$750, right?
Yep.
Then they go and trade for Vlad Jr. to replace Pete Alonso to play first base. Still has a friendly contract.
Okay.
Next, they trade for Devin Williams to help out the bullpen.
Right.
And then they just fill out the rest of the roster with the kids.
Devin,
you're welcome.
Yeah, Devin.
You're
Williams,
welcome.
Who
thank you.
Man. Familiar, obviously, with David Stearns.
Yeah, there is a familiarity.
Yeah.
So a couple of things: Juan Soto, 12 years, $750. That would be $62.5 million per year. Mm. I don't even think Scott Boras is asking for that. But hey.
You said, what did you say, 15, 750?
My official prediction that we made yesterday was
50.
15 years, $750 million.
And I said similar, but 12 years, 720.
Correct. 12 years, 720, which is $60 million a year. Yes.
And that, my point, for those who missed it yesterday, was the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL and some of the highest paid basketball players in the NBA. They're making $60 million a year.
Right.
So why shouldn't Juan Soto, who is one of the best players in baseball, if not the best player in baseball, make $60 million a year?
No, I get it.
And he's 28. He can play it until he's 30, let's say, 6 very well. I know, he's 26. So he can play to 36 till he's really well in the last 2 years or whatever. Whether he's DHing or you've already won a championship, it's well worth it already.
No question. So I'm with you on the Soto part. Like, I have moved into the territory of actually thinking this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
My tweet from a year ago may be prophetic when I said, rent in the Bronx, buy in Queens. But let's get to the last two parts. It would actually be stupid. I'm going to use the word stupid. It would actually be stupid.
To trade for Vlad?
To trade for Vladimir Guerrero
Jr. Why?
I'll tell you why. Thank you for asking. Because if you just signed Juan Soto and Vlad Jr. is on a one-year deal before he's a free agent, the odds you're paying Vlad Jr. to is not high.
I mean, you got more money than you can, billions you can work with.
Well,
why not?
If that's the case, then just re-sign Pete Alonso and don't give up assets to trade for a slugging first baseman where you're going to have to give up big prospects.
But what if Pete Alonso voluntarily go someplace else?
I believe Pete Alonso will get less than what Vlad Jr. gets a year from now. So if you're committing to pay Vladimir Guerrero Jr., why would you pay him more plus? And it's not just that.
Because he's better?
But you're also giving up major prospects.
But is he better?
He's better, but you're giving up major prospects too. I don't want to do that.
Mm.
If I'm trading major prospects, this is where I stand. I revealed this on the Rico Bronya the other day. There'll be another Rico Bronya tonight in which we do a deep dive on Juan Soto and Corbin Burns. An hour of just Juan Soto and Corbin Burns, what they've done, what they've accomplished, why they should get them, what they should be offered, all that.
Can't wait. You could
download that tonight. Are you actually going to listen?
I might.
He might. But I would not trade valuable young pieces unless I'm getting young, controllable starting pitching. I'm not doing it for bats. When I could just buy a bat. I'm buying Juan Soto. Yeah. I could rebuy Pete Alonso. So it's not about Pete versus Vlad, which you're trying to make it.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't want, just, why am I giving just, all that stuff
it's
just, up?
It's more business prudent to do it that way.
Yes. Right. And I'm open to trades. I'm open to making a deal for controllable starting pitchers. And I'm on the fence about Devin Williams, by the way. Like that one, relief pitchers I'm on the fence about because... Even though Devin, despite what the Mets did to him in Game 3, let's put that out of our brains for a second, he's one of the more reliable pitchers in baseball as a relief pitcher, but I would hate giving up top-line prospects for a relief pitcher. So I'm not saying I definitely won't do it, but I'm kind of on the fence. But for starting pitching, let's talk. Like, yeah, you know, the Mariners are going to trade one of their controllable young starting pitchers. Let's have a conversation. The Blue Jays are trading Jose Barrios. We'll have a conversation. The Mariners are trading Luis Castillo. By the way, this was funny on the Rico. Guy wrote in about the Mets trading for Luis Castillo, the pitcher of the Mariners. And he said, hey, I just want to give a lot of credit to Sean Morash and Tommy Lugauer. And I'm like, what the hell is this guy talking about? And he said the reason he thought about trading for Luis Castillo is that they both talked about Luis Castillo dropping a pop-up and comparing it to Aaron Judge.
Oh,
and
nice.
That motivated him.
Nice. I didn't realize that Devin Williams had a back injury.
Yeah, missed a big chunk of time this season.
Yeah, basically April, May, June.
Yeah.
And all of July.
He missed the first few months of the season, came back, was dominant. Yeah. The Brewers
didn't... thank you. Back injury?
Oh, that's enough for you to say I'm out?
I mean, he's not... Is he old enough to have a back injury? I guess he is 30, so...
Yeah.
Have you ever bent down to pick something? You're always old enough for a back injury.
It's true, but... I mean, if he's like 27 and has a back injury, like, stay away.
Can you do me a favor, Sean? Can you pull that audio of Anthony in Long Island arrogantly making those three predictions just so that we can make fun of him when he's wrong?
What was this on WFAN Daily?
No, it just happened 5 minutes ago.
It was literally like just, 2 3
minutes. Oh, I thought you were making a Rico joke.
No, never. Rewind on the Odyssey.
Rewind about 5 minutes ago. This whole conversation started because Anthony on Long Island, sounds like a nice dude, called up and said, Evan, write this down because we love making predictions. By the way, I got a great prediction.
Evan wrote it down and then he just crapped on it.
Yeah, but I want to hold people accountable. I got a great prediction, and I'm going to do this with my wife tonight. I'll do it with you. I don't even care, Tiki, if you want to do it too.
Clip that.
That sounds now weird. We're doing things that you're doing with your wife.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of doing this. 2028 presidential predictions. Okay. Big fan of that.
Love it.
So I'm gonna. Do you want to do that at 6:15 tonight?
Yeah, yes. Let's do it.
6:15 tonight. Lock it in.
We got to do both candidates?
Yes.
All right.
And this is a tough one. Okay,
this is a really tough one.
I don't know if you guys know this. The president-elect can't run again. He's already gotten his two terms. So it's done. So it's someone else versus some Democrat.
Yeah, but oddly, he shows up in the odds.
He shows up in the odds because people think he's going to change the Constitution. It takes a lot to change the Constitution, by the way. 2/3 vote.
Can I give a baseball prediction based on the last call we had?
Yes.
Call me crazy. I believe the Yankees will trade for Vlad Jr. at the deadline.
What?
I mean, what?
At the trade deadline?
Yes. I don't think the Blue Jays would trade him in the offseason because they're going to go for it, and then when they don't do well this season, they trade him at the deadline. I think the Yankees will go with a makeshift first base option.
I don't think they're waiting.
Yankees? Yeah. I think they will. I think it's going to be underwhelming, their first baseman. They're not going to sign Walker. They're not going to sign Alonso. They're going to, you know,
put that one.
Waldo at first base or Ben Rice.
I disagree with the prediction.
I don't know why the Blue Jays
like
would trade him to the Yankees, but that's just my gut feeling that the Yankees trade him.
Like, let's say the Yankees don't sign Juan Soto. They got to bring a bat. So I disagree with you. I think they're bringing in somebody, first baseman or otherwise, that's another bat.
I also think that what you have to
this
give
is if
up,
they don't sign Juan Soto.
Oh, of course, yeah. Because if the Yankees sign Juan Soto, they're not going to do a lot else.
Agreed.
Like, it'll be on the margins.
Al basically told us that.
Right. And by the way, I don't think you can even argue that much as a Yankee fan. There are creative things you can do to improve your roster. I think one thing Yankee fans are forgetting is you're in the World Series. Mm-hmm. I don't think this team needs household changes. And if your answer is, well, I think the American League's crappy, well, okay, is that going to change overnight? Like, is all that changing? So I think if they miss out on Juan Soto, you're right, they have to add a bat. But I think it's easier to just buy a player opposed to trading guys from your farm system.
That's why I disagree with what Tommy just said.
I disagree with Tommy, but I like the prediction. Can you save that one too, Sean?
I was just going to say, Tommy, if you can open your mouth, you're cutting it and saving it. That's it.
That's fine. I don't care who cuts it and saves. Honestly, I'll end up doing it if that's the case. Real quick, let's go to Jack in Brooklyn. What's up, Jack?
What up, Jack?
How you doing, man?
Good.
Yep.
That's good.
What's up?
Nothing. I just wanted to speak real quickly about DJ and I'm happy that the new sign put the option for Torres. And I just want to know, what do you think is going to happen with third? At second, I guess they're going to have Jazz, right?
Yeah, that'd be my guess, that it makes the most sense that Gleyber Torres is likely gone. I think the fact that they didn't offer him the qualifying offer is kind of a sign.
Right, we don't want you.
Because I would have. I mean, if he comes back on a one-year deal, okay, fine. But I think there are enough Yankee fans, and maybe Brian Cashman himself, who says, I don't want him back on a one-year deal.
Despite him being pretty good in the postseason.
And despite him being also, if you look at the available second basemen, there's not a lot of great available second basemen.
Yeah, but you have Jazz here, and you traded for him, so.
So then who's your third baseman?
That's where you get stuck.
Can I be honest with you?
Unless you go get Bregman.
I'm going to tell you the honest answer. If they re-sign Juan Soto, their third baseman on opening day is going to be DJ LeMahieu.
No. It's going to be the rookie they're pumping up already.
Rivas?
No, Rivas? Not Yorbit Vivas. Now there's another guy that apparently Cashman was selling everybody
on. If you don't say the name, it doesn't count.
I'm just telling you, this guy's name is going to be prevalent.
What's his name?
Let me look it up.
Come on! Big Mac would have known.
You don't know? Come on.
There was something else going on in the country yesterday that I pivoted away from.
Didn't even watch the coverage. You admitted it. You said I didn't watch it.
I'm talking about via Twitter.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I'll get you the name. Give me a second.
It's not George Lombard Jr. He's like 5 years away, so it's not him.
I don't know who the hell he's talking about. I'm going to get it for you.
Dude, it's going to be DJ LeMahieu. He signed.
It's Vivas. It's got to be Vivas.
Or Yorbert Vivas could be another option, or is Waldo Cabrera. I don't think it's going to be anything sexy, unfortunately, because I think if they re-sign Soto, they're going to be locked in financially.
There's nobody else in the top 30 that could even qualify here.
Yeah, I think he's making up a person.
I think he is.
This is a terrible situation.
It was Alberto Albuquerque.
No, when we come back, I will provide the tweet that I saw this week yesterday.
You saw a tweet.
Okay. Tweet.
From a Yankee reporter speaking to
a guy who's not even in the system yet.
Yeah, this is bad showing by Sean Morris.
Yeah,
right
it
now.
Is.
I'm going to prove you guys right
you
in about 7 minutes.
Stop surfing X.
Did you hear what he said? He said he's going to prove us right in 5 minutes.
I know.
Prove me right and shut up, Tommy. Let me do my job.
Elon Musk has got you, bro. Got you.
You're all trapped. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And Joe Douglas has decided to talk to us as Jet fans. What did he have to say about what's gone on this season? We'll hear from Joe Douglas in a few minutes. Plus, speaking of hearing from general managers, Brian Cashman was asked some very good questions that's not getting a lot of play today. We'll listen to what he said when he was asked point blank, if you don't re-sign Juan Soto, do you regret making the trade? Do you have an answer, Sean?
Caleb Durbin.
Okay.
Chris Kirschner, not surprisingly, Brian Cashman mentioned Caleb Durbin as a possible internal candidate to play second base next year if they do not re-sign Gleyber Torres. Cashman specifically said this yesterday.
Okay, great. And you didn't know who the heck he was?
Neither did you. Any of us.
I've never heard his name.
So Caleb Durbin this year is 24 years old. He had a good year and half a season at Scranton at .287, .867 OPS with 10 home runs and 60 RBIs. He's interesting. He was a 14th round pick by the Atlanta Braves in 2021. So I'm not even sure how he got here.
I'll have to look that up. I'm sorry, Sean. You were right. You did see something.
Oh, shut up. Yeah, but you didn't know his name.
You didn't know any information.
But I knew Cashman specifically mentioned something. That's all.
Okay. My official prediction is that if they re-sign Soto, their third baseman is going to be DJ LeMahieu, as much as you're not going to like to hear that. Because I think he's here, and unfortunately.
Why did this kid rocket up through the minors?
I don't know. I'm curious how they got him, because he was in the Braves system until 2022, so... maybe you could share that information, Sean, when you figure it out.
Yeah, he started his season in single A.
Yeah. I'm kind of fascinated by this Caleb Durbin.
Tommy, see if we get Cashman on.
I'm going to go down a rabbit hole during our next commercial break trying to figure out everything about him.
Oh, no, he only had a game in Triple A. One game in Triple A.
No, he had 82 games in Triple A. He had one game in single A.
One game in single A, seven in double A. And then most of the season in AAA.
Yeah, it must have been hurt. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.